Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making it part of your day, thanks so much. On the iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio, I'm Doug Gottlieb, trying to do the Colin Cowherd welcome in. I tried to do it simultaneously with him yesterday in this very same studio. I kind of think I freaked him out. He was a little freaked out by it. He was just like, wait, what is that an echo? Is that a Cowherd on vacation? Whitewater rafting. If anybody in Utah gets video of Cowherd whitewater rafting, please, please put it on social media. Please send it to all of us. Because Colin will claim, oh, it's amazing. It's great. It's unbelievable. But I have friends that work out at the gym that he works out at, and they're like, we do kind of make fun of him. But, like, for a man his age, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, right? There's a picture of Colin when he's, like, 28 years old working in Vegas, and he literally looks like he's 50 at 28. But now, at 75, he looks like he's 50. So it does, in fact, even out. It's one of the great things, you know, to any of you guys that, especially if you go gray early or bald early, you look old early, you look old young, you look young when you're old. There you go. All right, welcome in. We got a lot to get to. Our pal Nick Wright from First Things First will join us in 15 minutes. We'll argue about basketball, probably about LeBron James. He'll say he's the greatest. I'll say he won't. Hilarity will ensue. We'll also talk about the massive change within the NBA in the last week. I'll kind of go through it, and I would wonder if he could think of a week where there was more change than there has been in the last week. Rick Bucher, join us. We got a bunch of things to get to. But I want to start with this. Supposedly, Kyrie Irving has ghosted the Celtics. One of my favorite terms in the New Age Dictionary is being ghosted, right? Somebody texts you and you don't respond. Somebody texts you and you don't respond. And of course, everybody has the jerk friend that every once in a while will text you so the dots appear, but nothing actually comes through. What? What are you sending? Finish the sentence. We're having a discussion here. But being ghosted is, it's not even responding who dis new phone, right? It's sending a text and it's saying that it's delivered and never saying that it's read. It is, by definition, cruel and unusual punishment. And the Constitution protects us, the Bill of Rights protects us from cruel and unusual punishment. Being ghosted by somebody who used to be your bestie is cruel and unusual punishment. So supposedly the Celtics are being ghosted by Kyrie Irving. And I was thinking about something yesterday. Colin has really good info. I've received the same info. And you look around on all your TV screens and they seem to have the same info that the Lakers' number one focus now, because they don't have a point guard, is spending all of that money on the best possible guy. Now, look, you're going to hear people say, well, you know, I would rather them spread it around. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to go after a primary target. If they don't get it, well, then, you know, there's only a couple of elite-level guys out there. Then you go to the secondary, the Patrick Beverleys, the Darren Collisons. You know, maybe you work your way down to Jeremy Lin and you spread it around. Some of it's by choice. Some of it's by choice, but a lot of it is by necessity. But here's the bigger thing. Do you remember midseason when Kyrie Irving said, yeah, you know, I called LeBron and I apologized and we made up. He's my big bro again. Do you guys remember that? Remember how there's always been this rumor of, you never know, Kyrie could end up back in Los Angeles. And then all of a sudden, the Lakers make the blockbuster trade to land themselves Anthony Davis. And you're like, it's on. All they need is a point guard. And guess who's available? Kyrie Irving. And guess who they're going after? Kemba Walker. What? Wait, Kemba starts with a K, but he's from L.A. No, actually, he's from New York. Actually, he's from Brooklyn. Wait, how did we go from... Where, how did we get from Kyrie could reunite with LeBron to if the Lakers don't get Kemba, it's Patrick Beverly or Darren Collison or somebody of that ilk? They're just like skipping over. And it's because, have you guys ever seen the Crazy Hot Matrix? You can Google it during a break if you would like. But the idea is this, it's every guy thinks they want a 10. The problem with the 10 is they've been told they're a 10. And if a 10 is not under someone else's care, there's a reason she's available, right? How many times does Halle Berry have to be married to where we're like, wait, somebody would divorce Halle Berry? Halle Berry's got to be crazy. Right? You ever seen these dating apps and these dating sites? And you look and they're like the ads, like this beautiful woman. You're like, why is she... She's crazy. It's the only possible explanation. And that's what Kyrie Irving is. Right? The Boston Celtics are in this perfect position. You know, they're reaching out. They're texting, hey, want to grab coffee? And he's ghosting them. So they look like the good guys. But the truth is that the Celtics thought this was too good to be true. Just too good to be true. Kyrie Irving, burgeoning superstar, get him for 2 years. He's bright. He's zappable. He's been, you know, he's been pushed aside because of Team LeBron. He's found a way to kind of navigate with social jujitsu, kind of that dicey path of playing with LeBron, not calling out the king, but it's not always easy, right? So I sit here and I'm thinking the Celtics are getting out. They're cutting bait. Celtics had talent-wise a better team and a worse product or a worse result. And the Lakers could go after Kyrie Irving. I mean, look, Kyrie reached out to LeBron. Why can't LeBron reach out to Kyrie? Hey, man, you want to do this again? On the other hand, everything you're hearing is we'd prefer Kemba or Patrick Beverly. Like completely skipping over the idea of even having a conversation with Kyrie Irving, which tells you all you need to know about why Kyrie is single. And then the Brooklyn Nets are sitting there and guys are telling him, dude, she's crazy. Dude, she's crazy. Nah, man. No. Nah, we had dinner. We had dinner. She was in jeans and like a t-shirt. She's cool. I asked her what she's doing afterwards, and she said, I'm going home to watch SportsCenter and Van Peasy. She even said Van Peasy. She's cool. Why is she available? Right? She's got kids and doesn't have custody. Right? It's one of those type of deals. You're like, something ain't right. That's Kyrie Irving. In his physical prime, has been fully healthy this year, has hit essentially the game-winning shot in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, has played with LeBron. The Lakers need a point guard. The Lakers have a spot for his contract, can figure out a way to make the financials work, and they ain't even going to call. And the Celtics are like, oh, you ghosted me? Okay. People that ghost other people that they're in relationships with are crazy. Because normal people, when you reach out to them and text them and things just went wrong, you just go like, hey, I'm good. Hope you're good. How's the family? Good, good, good. You do the, it's almost like when you see somebody at a party and you do that really uncomfortable side kiss thing. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We are not in Europe. Okay. Some people do wear tight jeans. We don't smoke in public places nearly as much as they do. All of us really have much better dental care. Why do we do the side kiss thing? Anyway, that is an aside. The world is telling you that Kyrie Irving in that crazy hot matrix is just 10 that knows he's a 10, that's been told he's a 10. I'll give you a story real quick from Boston. A friend of mine told me this story. that Kyrie came in one day just to film. And again, it's not that Kyrie shows up late. He actually was the first one in film room. Walked up to Brad Stevens and said, Brad always, morning, good morning. What does government mean to you? That was Kyrie's good morning question. What does the word government mean to you? Not, hey, did you see that Laker game last night? Man, are they a mess. Not, how are we going to fix our ball screen coverage? Not, man, my knee feels great. Not, how are your kids? It was, what does the word government mean to you? And so Brad Stevens, at 8 in the morning, on his first cup of Dunkin', took a long sip and went into some soliloquy saying absolutely nothing because he didn't know what sort of trapdoor any sort of word was. And then he turned around on Kyrie and said, what's it mean to you, Kyrie? Kyrie said, control. Very deep. Very, very deep. Also very transparent. And Kyrie's one of these guys that he's smart, but he's as smart as a young guy can be that went to school for a half a year and then has been a professional athlete for the rest of his life and been told that he's a 10. There's a reason Halle Berry's been through three marriages. There's a reason that one of those marriages, she had, one of her ex-husbands, had an addiction to, and it wasn't with her, which does, like you're married to Halle Berry, you're addicted to that. That doesn't seem like a problem. Sometimes the single girl is hot and single for a reason, and that's Kyrie Irving. And the Brooklyn Nets are sitting there going like, nah, she was cool. And the Lakers are telling you all you need to know. They need a point guard. There's a repaired relationship between the two. And everyone is telling you that the Lakers are, we would really like Kemba Walker. Because Kemba Walker is probably an 8. But at some point in Kemba Walker's life, Kemba actually was told he was a 5 or a 6. And then he went to the gym. And then he got his hair done. Started dressing better. And now he's an 8.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Colin is doing rich guy stuff in rich guy territory. Rest of us just grinding it out. That's what we do. I took public transportation to get here. Okay, that part wasn't true. Nick Wright joins us. His show is First Things First. Today they had Shaquille O'Neal on. I want to get to some of the things that Shaq said. But Nick, it's kind of a remarkable week. If you really think of it, right? I mean, if you go back to before Game 5 of the NBA Finals, there was this thought that I had that, hey, Kevin Durant can come back and ride in on his white horse and the Warriors can win again. And then he goes off to Brooklyn or the Knicks and changes that franchise forever. Then he comes back and does that for 12 minutes, tears his Achilles tendon. Somehow the Warriors win that game. They go to Game 6. Klay Thompson tears his ACL. The Raptors win that game. And now all of a sudden we're left with, well, the Warriors are done for at least a year, if not forever. KD's done for at least a year. He may never be the same, but that takes him probably out of the mix of Brooklyn or teams looking to win right away. And then you have Kawhi, which I don't know if winning a championship changes his perspective, but at least has to make him think about the possibility of owning an entire country. And then you have the Anthony Davis trade, which has shaken up the landscape so much that they're now a favorite to get to the NBA Finals in Vegas. Nick Wright, you followed and studied the NBA your entire life. Can you think of a week that changed the league as much?
I would say Jordan's original retirement. Just the shockwaves that sent across basketball, opening up the East, making it seem like something we just knew someone was going to break through that hadn't. I think the week of LeBron's decision, that one obviously did, and the week of Durant deciding to go to Golden State. But this is up there with all of them, and it might be the biggest because you're right. The Warriors are done. I mean, that is – Before even Anthony Davis gets to the Lakers, what we learned was, tragically, sports-wise, the best thing that could have happened to the Warriors would have been them not have an 18-0 run in game two of the third quarter, just simply be swept. If they were swept, Kevin Durant's Achilles is intact, Klay Thompson's knee is intact, and at worst-case scenario, they come back to next season with an older, much older, but an older version of the team that won 73 games. Instead, the entire landscape of the NBA has changed forever. Now, it wouldn't have, no matter what happened with the Warriors, I believe the Lakers were still getting Anthony Davis. That was done because Anthony Davis wanted to be there, and that was done because he's got a really good agent. But that wouldn't have made them favorites. It wouldn't have put them in the position they are now. And maybe the Knicks are more aggressive in pursuing Anthony Davis if they believe they're getting Kevin Durant, which I think they do, but where they can pair Anthony Davis with Kevin Durant for at least a season. So, yeah, I mean, these waves will be felt forever, and the next time Klay Thompson plays basketball, Steph Curry will be 32, Klay and Draymond will be 30, and Iguodala will be 36,
yeah,
which is one of the big reasons I think the Warriors are finished.
I'm with you. Like, everybody, they fail to take – everybody thinks that, like, if you take a year off, you come back, and then you do it again, like – look, Steph's going to be 2 years older the next time they're competitive, and he's going to take a beating having to just try and score 50 every night, you know, playing on his own team. The idea that – and then the league will change, and there'll be new players and more form teams. Okay, let's get to Kevin Durant. What do you think he does? Because it appears that he could stay in Golden State, lay in the cut, take the Supermax – and try and make another go of it. They finally seem to respect him there, and maybe nationally. He could still go to New York, but that means the team tanks another year, and you're going to change the culture. And Father Time is creeping up on Kevin Durant. We don't know what he'll look like. What do you think he'll do?
I think he signed with the Knicks. I don't think that has changed. I don't think that if you're Kevin Durant, while we might not know who it was whispering in the ear of Tim Kawakami and Sam Amick the weekend before he tore his Achilles, that if this were Klay dealing with a calf, he'd already be back, questioning his rehab and his heart. I imagine Kevin Durant does know that, and I don't know that he wants to spend a year rehabbing with those people around those people. I don't think it's nothing that he had the surgery done here in New York City. And I think his plan all along was to come here to New York City. I don't think that changes. Now, do the Knicks go after a max-level free agent to pair with him, even though that guy's going to have to wait a year? Or do they roll that cap space over a season, develop their young guys, develop R.J. Barrett, develop, you know, Alonzo Trier, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., and then potentially use cap space or the draft pick next season to try to trade for a star? I don't know, but I think Kevin Durant's a Nick.
Nick Wright joining us here. I'm Doug Gottlieb filling in for Collins, The Herd on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Expectations are that Kyrie Irving becomes a Brooklyn Net. There was a lot of talk that he and KD would link up in New York or in Brooklyn. And I found it at least curious that even if it was a stretch to think Kyrie would want to play with LeBron again, every story you're hearing and everything I'm hearing is the Lakers' primary target for a point guard is Kemba Walker, not Kyrie Irving. You factor in that the way it ended in Brooklyn, the way it ended in Boston, he's ghosting now the Celtics. Kyrie feels like a 10 that's been told he's a 10 and is single for a reason. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I think the Lakers would very, very happily take Kyrie Irving, and I think LeBron would very, very happily play with Kyrie Irving. I don't think they're going to get the $32 million, you know, the max cap space. I don't think the Pelicans are going to let this thing delay 30 days. And I think people are concerned about Kyrie Irving's long-term health and not just his knee. I think that's the fairest way to put it. And I think people are – I think Tyree is a free spirit in a lot of ways, and I think he's mercurial, and I think that he is a great, great player. Listen, he's not one of the seven difference makers in the league, but he is in that next tier of player, and you're better with him. But Kyrie Irving at this point, this is going to be the biggest offseason of his life, not just because first time he's a real free agent, but he's going to decide what level of basketball player he wants to be. Is he going to look at what happened in Boston, while it wasn't all his fault, try to fix the things that were? Because if he doesn't and he goes to Boston, that is just a similar situation with a less talented core and a worse coach. So why on earth, and nothing against Kenny Atkinson, but I don't believe he's Brad Stevens, what on earth would make that situation different than the one he just was in and it did not work out? And if he's not going back to Boston, and by the way, and he shouldn't go back to Boston. Boston got beat four straight by the team that then got beat four straight. They are not close. And I was trying to tell people that all year long, and finally, maybe now people will believe me on it. And Danny Ainge, for the seventh consecutive offseason, was this close to getting his guy, but the other team, damn it, they just wanted too much. And so Boston is stuck in neutral, and Kyrie needs to figure out how much it matters to him to try to break into that next tier, because right now he's not going to.
It's going to be fascinating. We've talked around the Lakers a little bit. Okay, so they have two of the, you said, seven difference makers in the NBA?
Yep.
Two of the seven difference makers in the NBA. Two great players. Can they put a good enough team around them, considering they don't have a first-round pick, not that that would affect their team this year, and they have to create an entirely new team. Even if they bring back Alex Caruso as a backup point guard and JaVale McGee, like, do they have the financial resources to go out and get guys that can win games for LeBron James?
Yeah, and I say this as it's, I suppose, as arrogant as it sounds, but I mean, if I were the GM, they could. And Rob Pelinka's got to know as much as I do, right? You go out and you call up Darren Collison. He shoots 40% from three. He's an above average defender. He's never played on a super high level winner. He's battled against LeBron. You offer him $8.5-9 million per season. You call up Patrick Beverley. You say you don't even have to move. You see if he's interested. Terrence Ross, you gauge his interest. Danny Green, you gauge his interest. You try to get two of those four or three of those four. You go to the next level, which is you hit up Rudy Gay and you say, listen, man, you've made $134 million in your career. When you die, you're going to have money left over that you made in the early 2000s. Are you interested in playing for a title? And you make that same pitch to Jamal Crawford. And then all of a sudden, you've got a team built. Like, this is one of the – everyone – I'm old enough to remember all the – LeBron went to L.A. to make movies. All the LeBron's Laker, like MJ was a Wizard takes. Those were all as stupid then as they are now.
Agree with you.
And the reality is that one of the reasons you go to L.A. is because it's almost as if LeBron had insight that Anthony Davis would force his way to L.A. And the other reason you go to L.A. is because guys like to play – in Los Angeles, in the sunshine for that franchise. It's also, if you do free agency right, it's an argument against going after Kemba Walker. Because while you would be the only team with three stars in the NBA, your bench would be non-existent. If you could get Kawhi or Kyrie, so obviously you do that. You deal with a not very good bench. You probably do it for Kemba. But for Jimmy Butler or Chris Middleton, I would not. I would go after 3-and-D guys. I would go after depth. And you already have the best duo in the NBA by an enormous margin. Like, let me ask you just, if I may, as we sit here today, the second best duo in the NBA is what?
I don't know.
Is it Embiid and Simmons?
Yes, except for, again, yes, but you have serious injury concerns about Embiid, shooting concerns about Ben Simmons,
And then it's Giannis and Middleton.
And chemistry concerns, right?
Like, right. So then we're to Giannis and Middleton.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you on a multitude of levels. You know, Collison's from L.A. Like, it all makes sense.
Yep. Went to UCLA.
Right. I mean, it all that makes sense. I do wonder, like, there's always somebody out there willing to give guys more money. And though they all say they want to play for a championship, they also want to make a lot more money. And, you know, so we will see. All right, let's get to Kawhi Leonard, who did make fun of himself and his own laugh yesterday at the victory parade. I don't take victory parades into account in terms of keeping somebody in a city because they're all awesome, right? They're all amazing, and they all feel bigger than the next, and this one feels big. Does anyone have any real feel for what Kawhi Leonard is going wants to do?
I think Chris Carter does, and I talk with him every day. I mean, Chris Carter is one of the only people that seems to have an open line of communication with the ever elusive Uncle Denny and with Kawhi's agent. Chris's football agent is Kawhi's basketball agent, and Chris will tell you he's considering five teams. Those are the two New York teams and the two LA teams. And it sure seems like where we were a few months ago is where we are now, with the Clippers and the Raptors being in the pole position and any of the other teams having to play substantial catch-up, with, to me, the real news in that being he would even consider the New York teams, which, in a hypothetical of hypotheticals, raises a really interesting basketball question, which is, if Kawhi Leonard were to pick the Knicks and they then were to have the option between signing Kevin Durant with their second max spot or signing one of those two guards, Kyrie or Kemba, which one do you do if you already have Kawhi in the fold and you know KD is not going to be available for the first season of that contract? That's a hypothetical of a hypothetical, but it's kind of an interesting Rorschach test for what you value in basketball.
It's going to be fascinating. Our last thing, an organization you do have a lot of ties to, a place you used to do local sports radio before doing your own national show, is Houston. And there's new details out. Daryl Morey has come out and said Chris Paul's not on the market, although maybe that's because they shopped Chris Paul and no one wanted that contract.
Yeah.
Right? That leads you to believe that Clint Capella is, but the details that came out of a story yesterday where, you know, Chris Paul wants to coach James Harden, he wants to play more without James Harden on the floor, that those two, it is not as seamless a marriage as the Rockets at times would lead you to believe. There are some that believe they're in the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes. How does it end, or how does it maybe begin next season with the Rockets?
Well, listen, they certainly were in the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes. They offered reportedly four first-round picks for him. I know Daryl a lot, and I really, really like Daryl. I believe him that they are not currently shopping Chris Paul. It would be hard for me to believe they never shopped Chris Paul to end this where this began. If you're the Rockets, you needed a massive overhaul, and then Golden State fell apart. Like, there is an element of, wait, we did have to change everything. We did need to shop Clint Capella because, much like Kevin Love for the Cavs, he's useful against all the teams except for the one that matters. Clint Capella's a useful player against everyone seemingly except Golden State. But now Golden State's not in your way anymore. And I do – who am I describing when I say – a really good team, consistently good in the regular season, even got the one seed once, but could not beat one specific team in their conference. Questions about their coach of the year level coach, shopped their second best player. Is that the 2019 Houston Rockets or is that the 2018 Toronto Raptors? And the Raptors are now champions. Now, the Rockets don't have a Kawhi Leonard walking through that door. And, you know, but their version of LeBron leaving the conference, I think, has just happened with Golden State. So I think the Rockets at this point should be looking around and saying, okay, let's run it back one more time. And the reality is, I don't think they have much choice because no one is taking Chris Paul. Now, here is one more thought exercise I'm curious your thoughts on, because I respect your basketball opinion, even though we disagree a lot. If Houston calls up and offers Clint Capella straight up for Draymond Green, Draymond Green, who's on a one year left on his deal, and then we'll be expecting the max from Golden State. Which party says no to that?
I think the Warriors say no to it.
So you think the Warriors are ready to offer Draymond Green the max in a year?
No. I mean, I don't think they want, even though Clint Capella doesn't make a ton of money, I don't think he does it for them, you know? They probably think, look, we got Kevon Looney. We would rather manage that salary. I mean, he's a tremendous rim protector, but he can't play at the end of a series if you're playing small ball. He doesn't have the value to them.
So if the Rockets don't make a move like that, what they do have going for them, and Daryl's right when he says this, they're one of the only teams in the league that knows as long as they want to, which they do, they will return their entire starting five next year.
Right.
And that is valuable for a team that has the best record in the NBA after the break.
No, I think the reason, as you pointed out, their reason for wanting to make a change was anyone who said they couldn't beat the Warriors with KD, they couldn't beat the Warriors without KD at home in Game 6. And they're just like, yep. What are we doing? You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But now it changes. They are stuck with Chris Paul. I do think Chris Paul can still be effective if you give him the ball and you let him run ball screen stuff with Capella where he can get those mismatches. He's just not a great fit with James Harden. And I think James Harden still has those flaws of only being able to play one way and not shoring up the little thing. There's a lot to it. I'm with you. I don't know if it's fixable. I think you just hope you're the healthiest team come end of the year and maybe hope the Lakers have flaws and you can expose them at the right time with your three-point shooting. I don't know. Anyway, it's an absolutely fascinating week to those of us who love and follow and cover the NBA as you do. It's First Things First, plus he has a national radio show. He's the one and only Nick Wright. Nick, great stuff. Great picture today with your little girl, your wife, and with Shaquille O'Neal. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Continued success, Doug. And listen, I heard the intro to the segment, which is you talking about Colin Cowherd doing rich guy stuff. I am curious, do you think you are closer to Colin's income or the average guy stuck on the 405 listening to you is closer to your income? I'm curious what level of rich guy we're getting to, because I've seen your palatial estate. You ain't exactly struggling, my friend.
I would say I'm actually closer. I'm a check-to-check guy. I'm much closer to the guy.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Not even the 405. I'm much closer to the guy on the 210 or the 60, if you know Los Angeles. I'm more of an IE sort of income.
Inland Empire. Yeah. I'll talk to you later, brother.
Thanks so much. Inland Empire, of course, the birth home and where Kawhi Leonard was raised. The 909, if you're from Southern California.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Look, I went in a little bit on Kyrie Irving, who I actually think is a freak talent. I don't know. Nick Wright has this, seven most impactful guys. I don't know. That guy is a walking bucket. But there's a reason the Lakers aren't picking up the phone. But I was talking with Colin yesterday. I was listening to Nick earlier today on First Things First. I was listening to Clay Travis, the Dan Patrick Show. Everybody's talking about, spend too much on it. Too many draft picks, and I'm not going to disagree with you. I think it's a very, very risky proposition. It is. There is just a ton that is unloaded, and they have to find a way to smartly put together a team. And let's also remember, I'm not going to be anti or pro Rob Pelinka because I don't have any negative or positive history with Rob Pelinka determining what he's going to do. And truth is, neither do you. All you have is what you've read. But if there's a mistake the Lakers have made, it's here's a guy who is inexperienced from this side of the table. And he's the only NBA GM to not have an assistant GM alongside. They do have a cap specialist. They do have other people that have been doing this a while, but there's no, hey, I've been doing this a long time. Let's put together the team. So this is the first time. And it's a big franchise and a big swing. And I've seen the comparison to this deal to when Dwight Howard came aboard. Did you guys see that one? That was on the internet earlier today, where Kobe Bryant was 34, much like LeBron James is 34, and Dwight Howard's 26, much the way that Anthony Davis is 26. I mean, it should be pointed out that Dwight Howard was coming off of back surgery. Anthony Davis is not. There was also the debacle, like, of the worst trades of all time. The Steve Nash trade is arguably the worst trade of all time. Do you guys remember the Steve Nash trade? Did you know that Steve Nash was traded for 4 draft picks and he was a free agent? It was a sign-and-trade, but you didn't have to have a sign-and-trade. I mean, it was just a horrific trade. Forget about the fact that Steve Nash was hurt. Do you know how many games Steve Nash played? He played combined 2 seasons, 65 games in Los Angeles. That's it. At 38 and 39 years old. So if there was a mistake that was made, was Dwight Howard off of back surgery a mistake? Sure. But so was Steve Nash for 4 draft picks when he was an unrestricted free agent and he was 38 years old. Felt like a bigger mistake. Oh, yeah, and you had Mike Brown who let Eddie Jordan run the Princeton offense when you had Dwight Howard who can't pass and Steve Nash who has to have the ball in his hands to create. And Kobe Bryant, who succeeded in the triangle. Outside of that, it was a perfect plan. But this is not just what the Lakers do. This is what big franchises do. I mean, I don't know if you remember, what was it, 2008, the Yankees went out and they signed Mark Teixeira and CC Sabathia and AJ Burnett. They were the 3 highest paid free agents out in the market. They took a huge swing. Anybody remember what happened after they did that? They won the World Series. Doesn't mean that this is an NBA championship team, but this is what big franchises do. You need a process when you're not at one of the big franchises. The other ones just go like, hey, let's just get a bunch of money and a bunch of big names and see if it works. The Knicks have done this for years, obviously, they haven't been as successful as they need to be. But the Knicks also got to the NBA Finals 25 years ago. They were in the NBA Finals. They had Pat Riley. That was a big swing to go along with Pat Ewing. And they got to the NBA Finals in the post-Jordan couple years there. They had that 1 year where they went there. And the Knicks have tried to replicate that. Larry Brown. Remember that? Remember Larry Brown was the coach? Got $25 million to not coach the Knicks anymore. How do I get that deal? They've had Rick Pitino even before they had Pat Riley. They had Phil Jackson. They've had Amari Stoudemire and Penny Hardaway and Carmelo Anthony. Like, they've done this. This is what big franchises do. Remember the Dodgers 1 year? The Dodgers 1 year went out and signed Kevin Brown, and they gave him access to, at the time, Fox owned a portion of the Dodgers. And Kevin Brown had limited access, but he had access to the Fox plane. I mean, how baller a move is that? Yeah, listen, I want $100 million, and I want that plane. Well, you can't have the plane. All right, I want to use the plane. Okay, we can do that, right? That's just, I mean, look, by the way, the Yankees traded for Kevin Brown even after they knew he sucked with the Dodgers and he couldn't get along in a clubhouse. Movie studios do this. They have to. Why do they have these big budget movies? Because when they hit, they make a crazy amount of money. Right? Like, what's the big blockbuster of the year? Avengers Infinity War, right? No, it's Endgame? No, sorry. Infinity War was a big one, and then Endgame. Endgame is the big one this year, right? I mean, think about it. How much money do you think was laid out to make that movie? Not how much money has the movie made. How much money was laid out to make that movie? $356 million. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, who Colin has this weird thing for Mark Ruffalo, right? It's like, oh, any. I heard him, was it last week, Goulet, where he was like, anytime he's on the screen, he just don't like, really? I think Mark Ruffalo is good, but I think he kind of does the aw shucks average guy really, really well. Josh Brolin, Bradley Cooper, Brie Larson, Paul Rudd, Don Cheadle, like Scarlett Johansson. They're not working. They're not They're not just doing it because like they want to be in the movie. They're all getting paid, probably on the front and some on the back end as well. Right? Then there's this long and winding script. And you're like, man. I mean, think about you're in the pitch meeting for Infinity War. There's this, and you got to know this, and you got to know all these other movies. Oh, God, I watched Infinity War. I'm just going to warn you here. I didn't actually love it because I haven't watched all the Avenger movies, right? Like, I haven't seen Captain Avenger. Like, I didn't know, like, she, like, parachutes in, and people are cheering, and I'm like, who's she? It's Captain Avenger. Do you know what Captain? Like, I have wife, kids, life. Captain Marvel, sorry. Captain Avenger, Captain Marvel. Like, I don't even know. I didn't even know her name. Captain Marvel comes in. Like, all right. Is she a new one? Was she in the comic? I've never looked at a comic book in my life. I like Infinity Wars. I liked Endgame. I got it. I understood it. Snap your fingers. Have the people die. Get the stones. They're back. All of a sudden the world is repopulated. Sorry I spoiled it for you. If you haven't seen it by now, that's on you, not on me. Okay? But, I mean, like, look, it was a gamble. And it was one that hit, much like the Yankees when they went out and got to Sherrod CC and A.J. Burnett. Endgame's made $2.74 billion. $1 billion. That's crazy money. But, you know, we've seen Waterworld flop before, right? And what was Waterworld? Kevin Costner at the peak of Kevin Costner. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it's kind of a look at what our future could, like, there's maybe a little bit of reality to it. Like, I don't know if the world will turn into Waterworld, but sea levels are rising, polar ice caps are, I'm not trying to freak you out here with being global warming, dude, but I'm just like, hey, there's some environmental changes going on, which are kind of troubling. It could have been a snapshot into our future with Kevin Costner leading the way. And this is Kevin Costner off of Dances with the Wolves, Kevin Costner. How did it do? They don't all hit. But big studios take big swings and sometimes have big hits. Hell, what's the issue with baseball right now in terms of watchability? More than one-third of the time in Major League Baseball, no one touches the ball other than the pitcher, the hitter, or the catcher, right? Because more than a third of it's either walkout, strike, or home run. Because that's what baseball has become because of analytics, right? It's taking big swings. And there's no longer, hey, choke up, two strikes, choke up, get close to the plate, and punch something out. Those days are done. Nobody bunts anymore. Working my son on bunting, they're like, what are you doing? It's like, well, he's got to learn how to bunt. He's 10 years old, an all-star, you know. You get a pitcher that you guys are struggling to get on base. Like, let's not just take some big hacks. Let's find a way to get on base. No, we don't do that anymore. Bunting should be outlawed by some people. You know how to beat the shift? Hit it over the shift. Baseball, they take big swings. Heck, in basketball, why do we shoot so many threes? Because the analytics tell you that 3 points is more than 2 points, right? We take big shots. I mean, like, I would defend Steph Curry. People are like, well, Steph Curry hasn't hit a big shot in the fourth quarter, under 24 seconds to go, down a couple of points. I've come up with some stats to show you that Steph Curry somehow is not as good an end-of-game player as LeBron James. That's because he's taking 30-footers with two hands in his face. He takes big swings. And if you're L.A. Lakers, they've tried the rebuild thing. They did the whole draft pick thing. How'd D'Angelo Russell work out for you? They hated him. He was the worst teammate that one coach told me he had ever seen in the NBA. He was young, he was immature, he didn't practice hard, and he got other young guys to go out with him at night. Oh, and he sold one of his teammates out on social media for cheating on his girl. Outside of that, D'Angelo Russell was awesome with the Lakers. You know, Julius Randle, I know he scored a bunch of points with New Orleans. Did they win any more games this year with Julius Randle? The answer is no. No. They liked him, but he wouldn't roll on a pick and roll, which wouldn't set up other people being open. So they bid adieu to Julius Randle because he played essentially the same position as LeBron James and doesn't really change the game at the defensive end. They just got rid of Lonzo Ball, who they think could be really good. Like, they've tried the draft pick thing. For the last 6 years, they've tried the draft pick thing. How has that worked out? So they looked around, they're like, well, we could go through this whole process thing, or F it. We could just go out and get two of the five best players in the NBA. What do you think? And you look at baseball, and you look at basketball, and you look at movies, and you look at industry. I mean, what did Disney do to try and combat Netflix? You know, we could get our own shows that get super popular, get our own movies, or we could buy all of Fox's shows and combine them with ours. That was a whole hell of a lot easier than having our own Netflix. Like, that's a genius plan. Let's just buy the competition, combine the two, and then go against Netflix. How is that any different? It's not. This is what big companies, big franchises do. And it doesn't always work. Because LeBron is 34. Right? He's 34 years old. He could very well get hurt. He got hurt for the first time. It was a soft tissue injury. It was nothing. It was a groin. But a groin this year could be an Achilles, or could be a knee, or could be a hip. Could be a million things next year. Anthony Davis has had some nicks and bruises. Or, you know, look, they're two big guys. It's kind of become a guards game. If they don't pick the right guards, or if the guards get hurt. Like, all these things could. But there is enough history that tells you that when you're one of the preeminent franchises in sports, you take a big swing. You don't always hit, but sometimes you end up with endgame. Sometimes you end up with endgame.